أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين صلاة
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها صدق الله العظيم صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
The ayah I've recited is Surah number 7, ayah 180. And those of you who've been with me in the last 9-8 days know that this ayah, to remember it, just imagine 7 days a week, you want to make a 180 turn towards Allah. So he says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا For him are the most beautiful names or attributes, call him by them. Now we're programmed, all of us. We're programmed within ourselves to fall in love with those who reflect divinity. It's just part of human nature. The moment you see somebody who's ultra kind, selfless, mom for example, you fall in love with them. Anyone who portrays these attributes, we fall in love with them. The reason why Hussein and Abbas and all the others attract us, the reason why we come here is because there is something in there that reflects divinity. When Allah said, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ أَسْمَاءُ كُلِّهَا We taught Adam all the names. What was that meaning? It meant that he wanted to activate within him the divine. So there's these seeds planted in us. And the idea is to activate these seeds amongst us. Now you've got a chart in front of you, which has 99 names. I'm just going to go over some ahadith of the Prophet. Some of you might find this repetition, but it's good. Repetition is good. So, لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعُونَ إِسْمًا Allah has 99 names. Two hadith. One says, مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ And one says, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ So, both ahadith say, one says, one who memorizes them, one who preserves them, will enter Jannah. The other one says, one who embodies them. Same thing, basically. Will enter Jannah. Now each name of Allah has three aspects to it. You have a theoethic, you have a psychoethic, and you have a socioethic. I'll explain. So the first thing is to know what does it mean? That's theoethics, that's theoretical meaning. And there's only 99. It's not exactly rocket science. In the last 9 days we've done, or 8 days, we've done 33. We've got 66 left to go. It's not a lot, okay? So, when you look at those names, first you need to know the meanings. If I were to tell you, just off the top of my head, if I said, what does Muhsi mean? Then first of all, find me the number, and then we'll see what it means, right? So, where is it? Find it. And it's important. Now, you might think, oh, this looks like a bit of a jigsaw. But, in essence, without any of these names, we're not there. She's pointing them out to you. So, it's on a blue one, okay? Can you see it?
Yep.
Muhsi, yeah? 57. Okay. So Muhsi, for example, you then refer to the Quran. I'm just giving you some examples. So in the Quran, Surah to Ibrahim, Surah number 14, ayah 34. Wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la تحصوها. If you were to compute the ni'mas of Allah, you would not be able to compute them. So in your head, or in my head, near Muhsi, I put computer, Excel sheet. That is how I first learned the name, the meaning of the name. Then psychoethics means, how do I apply it to myself? So it's very easy. For example, I could say, oh, I know what Rahman and Rahim mean. It means merciful, or it means compassionate. And I might think, oh, I'm really compassionate. Every human being thinks they are compassionate. But how do I portray it? Because the next one is social ethics. Let me come to this Rahman and Rahim. So when I see something on television, like I see somebody, I don't know, in a country where there's real strife, at the moment we see countries where things are really, really difficult. Does my Rahmaniyat extend to these people? Or do I just change the channel because all the time I'm seeing all this stuff? At the moment in Greece, just generally in roads, there's so much going on, isn't there? There's fires, people have been left on the beach, their hotels are burnt down. So what do you and I do? Maybe we cannot fly over to Rhodes. Maybe we say, well, they were on holiday. It's okay, they're still human beings. We all go on holiday. The least I can do is when I finish my salah, I raise my hands, Ya Allah, grant them safety. Is there anything I can do? Call up the societies or the institutions that deal with them and say, is there something I can do to help? That is what's called social ethics, right? Now, like I said, on these last 8 majlises, we've done about 33 minutes. But today, because I love the person whose house I'm at, I'm going to do one that I absolutely adore, which is number 47. I love her to bits, by the way. Don't mind saying that. So 47 is Wadud. It's such a beautiful name. Yeah, do you know Wadud, don't you? If you find strife at home, people read it on water and give it to all the kids. You do that. You think people are fighting, you give them Ya Wadud. Let's see what Wadud means. And this is how we're going to learn each one of them. So if you go, we've actually recorded all the talks on the website. So you can go on there and you can download all the other 33. And hopefully we should finish 100 soon as well. Okay, if God gives life. So let's start with Al-Wadud. So the first thing to know is, what is the theoethics of Al-Wadud? So Al-Wadud comes, you probably know Wadda or Duwaddu. Wud actually means to want something so much, that you want to make it yours. So how can I put it? A strong sense of hope in me that this will be mine. Surah Ar-Rum, Allah talks about a man and his wife. For example, he talks about zawj or spouses. And he says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Mawadda, that wood, is a selfless love. It's a love that doesn't want anything back. That's what wood is. So it's a yearning for a love that doesn't expect you to be anything but you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Normally, because of social media, I'm sorry, I like, everybody likes to scroll through Facebook and Instagram and,
what else do you have?
Snapchat.
Twitter, TikTok,
all these. And if you look at all of these, people have these wonderful lives. Have you seen them? They have wonderful, they put filters on. So when you look at their faces, you think, oh my goodness, that's not the person I saw at the mosque. That's somebody completely different. So there is a persona that we want to portray to other people. You know, we want to portray a persona that is different. But when we come to love, we want somebody to love us for who we are. We don't want to change. We want to be who we are. I remember many, many years ago seeing an advert for Marks and Spencer's. God forbid I say that word. Anyway, so Mark, there's this woman who's got all her clothes on, and she's climbing up the mountain, and she's taking all her clothes off. You don't see much of it. But when you go up to the mountain, she really doesn't have anything on. And she says, I want to be me. I want to be myself. So now when you think of Wadud, you think of love, you're thinking of this person, or this one, who will love you as you are. Now, as you go along in life, this selfless love, nobody does that except Allah. Every human being, the best of spouses, the best of children, the best of parents, will always want you in a certain way. They will always want you the way they see things. children will say, so-and-so's mom is like this. Parents will say, so-and-so's child is so die. Sorry, die, the Gujarati word. So good. Why can't you be so good? Spouses will say, well, on TV, I see this woman like that in a size 6, 5, or whatever. I don't know, whatever you call. But in essence, every human being would like you to be they see as the ideal person. Allah wishes me and you to be as we are. And that's what it's supposed to be. So basically, that's what it's about. Now, in the Quran, word appears 2 times. The reason why I'm doing this is that you're going to do that with every single name. Okay? Inshallah, we'll produce a book and then you'll be able to put annotate it. So, the first place he mentions it is in Surah Al-Buruj. You know what Surah Al-Buruj is? Surah number 85. I'm testing you. In Surah Al-Buruj, it's a short surah, very short surah, in the 30th juz, Allah talks about Ashab al-Ukhdud. Ashab al-Ukhdud were people who believed in Allah. They were known as Christians from Najran. But in essence, they were people who believed in Allah, very much so. Now, those around them didn't like that. Because the moment you start believing in God, you start believing that you are good as you are. You're not fake anymore. You are who you are. And you don't go along with society does, which is unjust. And so society did not like them. So they built a trench. Ukhdud means a trench or a ditch. And they put these people in that ditch in fire. And Allah talks about them. Now look what he says. He says in this surah, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. He is the all-forgiving and he is wadud. Ghafoor, by the way, is number 14. Ghafoor, is it 14? No, it's 34. Ghafar is 14. Okay. So Ghafar is 14, his door is always open. Ghafoor is the one who forgives even those sins that are inside your heart, which nobody else knows about, right? He penetrates that. Anyway, my topic is wood or wadud. So Allah tells about Ashab al-Ukhdud. He says, wahu, and before that, if you look at the innahu huwa yubdi wa yu'id, this is ayah number 13. He says, we created them and they will return to us, but they will find us wood. That's number one. Second part in the second place in the Quran is Surah al-Hud. Surah al-Hud, surah number 11. You good? Do you know where Hud lived? Hud lived in places where there were pillars. Yes? Can you remember 11 as pillars? So now you know where Surah al-Hud is, right? Number
11.
Thank God for that. Okay. So now, ayah number 90. That's Hud talking to his people. And he says, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Do istighfar. He's telling his people. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Then do a U-turn towards him. إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. My Rabb is extremely compassionate and he will put in you a love of yourself that nobody will be able to take up. The first thing human beings need to love is themselves. Than anywhere else. He needs to love you as he made you. Not to make any stories up about it. Okay. So these people are told, turn away from all the false things that you've been told you have to be. Be you. That's what you have to do. Istighfar means to cover up something. Right? Ghafara means to cover up. So you're telling Allah, Ya Allah, cover up all those stupid things I did. Right? And then you're saying, I'm making a U-turn towards you. I'm gonna be me. I need the one that you love, the one that you want me to. The other word that's used in the Quran, which you also know from Urdu, is muhabbat. Because you say muhabbat in Urdu, here you say mahabbat. So in Arabic, ahab or hub is a camel who is so stubborn that it doesn't get up. You know camels are stubborn. So that's what they call ahabba, is a camel that doesn't get up. Somebody who is in love refuses to move their focus away from the beloved. Have you seen them? You just can't move them. They just stay there. Yeah? Stop. The next word, next thing, the meaning of hub is a seed. A seed that when you plant is known as hub, and it actually comes up with a tree of life. But it's hard because it needs to absorb water, it needs to split open, and then something needs to come up. To love, you need to sacrifice. Otherwise, it's not called love at all. Now, religion, when Imam Sadiq was asked, what is Islam? He said, nothing but love. Nothing but love. So literally, it's trying to fall in love with Allah. So how do I do that? Quite difficult. Well, let's see the Quran again. Surah number 3, ayah 31. You all know this ayah. In kuntum tuhibun Allah. If you love Allah, fattabi'uni, the Prophet says, follow my footsteps. Two things in Arabic, ita'a and ittiba. Ita'a is bare minimum. Ittiba is when somebody walks on the sand and you put your feet in their footsteps. So you do everything he does. So he says, if you want Allah to love you, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. If you love Allah, follow me. Yuhibbukum Allah, Allah will love you. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, he will forgive all your sins. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah is forgiving and merciful. So it's quite simple. All I have to do is know a little bit about the Prophet. In fact, I need to know what he did. How did he sit? How did he talk to people? What did he do? In essence, he reflected these 99 names. That is why Abi said, Hubbul Hussein ajunnani. The love of Hussein has made me crazy. Why? Because he saw divine in him. I love, many of you know that by the way, I love this song. Oh God, she listens to songs. Okay. The song I love, Tujhme Rab Dikhta. I absolutely adore it. I know, you always sing it to me. It is, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? So in essence, you want someone to say to you, Tujhme Rab Dikhta. You don't want them to sing it to you because they've seen it in some Bollywood film. La, 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 la. You want them to actually see you and see, I see God in you. And they can only see God in you if you reflect these attributes. And all these attributes are there. So what I'm going to do now, have I got some time? Haven't I?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at seven things that God loves in the Quran. The first one is what you recite in when you do your ghusl. When you do your ghusl, you recite two, 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 two. I tell the children, just say two, 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 two. Inna Allaha yuhibbut tawabin wa yuhibbul mutatahhirin. Surah number 2, ayah 222. Come on, it can't be that difficult. In fact, I tell children, on your shower doors, just write two, 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 two. Because the steam makes a bit of place that you can write, yeah? So he loves those who do tawbah and those who are pure. Now who does tawbah, by the way? Who does tawbah? Those who sin. You can't do tawbah if you don't
sin.
So is he not saying, I love those who acknowledge their sins and then come back to me and turn back? Don't let anybody make you believe that you're unsalvageable. I don't know where that came from, okay? Mutatahhirin, those who are pure in heart. Okay, I'm going to skip a lot of this stuff. Then he says, Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves those who do sabr. Sabr is not patience. I wish somebody would tell us. It's not patience. It's not just waiting. Nothing's going to fall from the sky. Sabr actually means continually trying and trying and trying. And then when you've done your 110%, handing it over to him and saying, "Wa fawwid amri ila Allah, inna Allaha basirun bil ibad." Now I am exhausted. Khalas. I can't do anymore. That's basically what sabr is. So he loves people who do that. Endurance, consistency, perseverance. That's how you translate sabr. Then he says, Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqin. I love those, he loves us, Allah loves us, who are God conscious. That means I'm always aware that he is watching. Not only when I'm sitting here, I don't have a camera right now, but normally I have this camera in front of me with her sitting behind it. And I'm thinking, oh, please. Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqin. So in essence, Allah loves those who are God conscious. We're absolutely aware that you're being looked at all the time. I'm going to give you lots of stories here. I talked about them too much. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. This is another one. Allah loves those who do qist. You see, muttaqin is somebody who is just to himself. To myself, I'm just because I know God is watching. Muqsitin is in social gatherings. When I'm meeting people, when I'm with my family, I am just. I don't say this is only for me and my family. Have you seen how people go for tabarruk? Well, not anymore, but they used to, right? So, I mean, it's crazy. That doesn't work like that. When you get up, do you let the old get up first? When you're looking for your shoes, do you let somebody else find their shoes first? It's those little things that make a difference. It really makes a difference. And that's what muqsitin is not big thing. You don't see like a judge. La, la, la. All you have to do is do something kind to somebody else. You know, one of the things in sitting in a majlis is when somebody walks in, even if there's loads of space, you just move a bit. They feel like you've acknowledged the fact that they've come into there. When you see somebody like that, muqsitin is actually making a little bit of space and allowing them to come in. Okay. Inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah loves those who trust Him. That's hard. To trust, to know that biyadihi al-khair, in His hands is all goodness. it's okay. It will happen. We will fall ill. Things will happen. People in our families will fall ill. We will lose people. We will gain people. The risk will go. Things will happen in life. But to trust that he knows best. Think of Yusuf, put in a well. Yes? As a child. By his brothers. Betrayed by them. Taken out, sold, put into prisons because he was seduced by some women. Wrongfully put into prison. Right? Forgotten in prison. All those things. Yet, when he comes out, he says, my Lord was Latif. My Rab was Latif. There was so much beauty. There was a silver lining in that cloud that I saw. Look at Musa. Look at all the prophets that you see. Sometimes the things that we go through, my goodness, they're there for a reason. And then the last one. And this one is a little bit long, but I'm going to give it to you so you can look at it. Surah number 61, ayah 4. Okay, just look at it. Inna Allaha yuhibbul ladina yuqatiluna fi sabilillah. Those who are killed in the way of Allah, saffan ka'annahu bunyanahu marsus. They're like bricks on a wall. They're like a wall. They don't give up. They stand. I said before that the greatest expression of love, and it could be in the smallest form, is sacrifice. Have you seen a mom look after her baby? It's phenomenal. If that child wakes up at night, mom's awake. You see in a mom whose baby's got a little bit of a fever. As they grow older, you tell them to get on with it. But when they're a bit young, you've seen them. I mean, you just go nuts. Even now, I mean, I'm 64. Even when I find that one of the children has got a slight cold, I can't sleep. Because you're worried about your children. You want them to get better. So, selfless love, the greatest expression of it, is in essence sacrifice. Literally sacrifice. That's it. There was a companion who came to the prophet and said, when is the day of judgment? I want the day of judgment to come quickly. Now most of us say, accountability in me right now is a far thing. So the prophet said, are you prepared? Are you really prepared for the day of judgment? He just wanted to meet Allah. I love Allah so much. I want to be in his arena. Not physically, but I want to be Allah as such. Okay. So the Prophet said, are you ready? He said, look, I don't know anything. All I know is Uhibbullah wa Rasulihi. I love Allah and his Prophet. I put the Prophet in front of me. I wish to be in this Jannah that God has created. And the Prophet tells him, you will always be with the one you love. You and I, that's where we end up. We will be with the people we love. Now, why are these people who display godliness tested so much? Why do they go through so much difficulty? Why? For what? What is it? You know, when we go through difficulty, we say, why me? Why not her? Look at her, she's chilling. I saw her on Facebook and my goodness, she's in Turkey and the next day she's in Rome. Okay, I saw you there. So, all these bits over there. Oh, she's chilling, why is it happening to me? And he will tell you that unless you reach a certain rank, I cannot test you. You can't give an A-level exam to a kindergarten student. So the more you are tested, the more your rank with Allah. I know we don't understand it, but it causes growth in us. Without that test, there's no growth. A diamond did not become a diamond unless it had pressure on that coal. You can go through lots of things in life. A caterpillar does not become a butterfly until it tries to go in a cocoon in the dark and it squeezes its way out. It's all about reflecting on nature and having a look and seeing what happens. Now, here we are. We're falling in love with the saint. We're falling in love with all these people. What happens? See, there's an Arab poet who talks about Imr bil Qais. You know Imr bil Qais is Majnun. And you know Zulayla and Majnun is. So I'm not going to give you the whole Arabic poem. But Majnun says in this poem that I roamed the area where Layla lived. Now Layla lived in a house which had been completely destroyed. But Majnun would circle the house and kiss the walls. And he would say in Arabic, he would say, yeah, they don't do that anymore. He would say, I don't love the walls. I just love the place where my beloved ones live. Now very often, when you see the Kaaba, for example, you see people going around the Kaaba, holding it, wanting it, You see people with alums, you see people with shabis, you see... Why do they do it? They know this is a wood. They know this is... It's not that we don't know. Nobody's stupid enough to say, I worship this or I worship the Kaaba. Mm. I don't worship it at all. But because they are so beloved to you, anything that reminds you of them, you will touch it. Mm. I mean, if Majnun could kiss the walls, why can't I look at the alam and touch it? Why not? Why can't I kiss it? What's wrong? I know for a fact I do not worship. So don't, you know... Let's just put that back. I just want to bring a few things that you would bring in there. Right. Now another thing. So, I can't be with Allah, right? He's everywhere, I know. But I can't tangibly be with Him. So, what do I do? So, He has told me to look at the two things that He has left for me to get attached to. His words and His divine guides. So, His words are in the form of the Quran. I tell young people all the time, I speak to young people more than I speak to adults, because I don't know how to speak to adults very well. So to young people I say you met somebody and you fell in love. I hate the word fell in love, okay? But anyway, you fell in love and you saw this person. And you met them once and they said, well, tomorrow I'm flying off to my country and I live in China. But you are just besotted with him or her, whoever it was, okay? Either way. You can't sleep. Because all you think is about them. And then suddenly next day, your phone pings and there's a text message. I mean, you sleep with the phone under your pillow because you're hoping as soon as he gets to China, he's going to call you. Yes? No? Oh, you don't see that. You will. Okay. So, you pick up this message and it's in Chinese. The whole bunch of Chinese stuff on there. You know, it's got emojis. It's got the smiling one, the heart one. It's got a rose in it. But it's in Chinese. What are you going to do? You're going to put the heavens and earth together to get an app that will translate. Because then Google Translate will not translate it properly. Because Google Translate or ChatGPT, my goodness, I tried that the other day. It just made a hash of Arabic, okay? It'll make a hash, so you will find an expert. You might even pay hundreds of pounds to get a translator to translate it. And if he said things like, I can't live without you, whatever, you're going to hold on to that text. You're going to print it, you're going to put perfume on it, and you're going to put it under your pillow. And if you don't do that, there's something wrong with you. So now, this rug has sent you and me a love letter in the form of the Quran. Our excuse? I can't understand it. I don't have time. I just bought it. I just really? Are you serious? And you say you love him? That's not working. So love, this al-wadud has to be manifested to be able to understand this. To understand the Quran and to understand the Masumin. And finally, last bit, before we go to the bus. When people are in love, I got married 47 years ago, so kind of forget that first bit. Yeah, I know, long time, isn't it? So when you get married, or when they're getting married, they want a massive engagement, and they want the mandor, and they want a wedding, and they want a reception. They want the world to know that they're in love. Have you seen them? Mm. And if you see them outside, I mean, their hands don't let go. You sort of like, go get a room, right? So this is what they do, because they want to declare to the world that they are in love. So what happens when Allah gets into love with you? He wants to shout out from the rooftops as well. He's trying to find a hadith that he says. So when he loves somebody, and I'll go to the last bit in a minute, he tells Jibreel, I love this person. Absolutely love this person. So you have to love that person too. So Jibreel goes up into the heavens and he comes up with the microphone. And he tells all the angels, Allah loves this person. So can you love this person as well? And then these angels descend on the earth. And they always surround the person whom Allah loves. Right? So wait for it. Now, you and I know that he loved Hussein so much. Did he not? Did he not love him? Absolutely adored him. Ya yatwan nafsul mutmainna ibji ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. Fadkuli fi ibadi wadkuli jannat. Where he's sitting? On the first of Hussein. Can you imagine the angels of the Absolutely phenomenal. So when you sit here and you go, Ya Wadud, you're actually invoking Allah and telling Him, I want to be one that is loved by you. I want to be me. Now, I'll end off with an ayah from Surah Maryam. Beautiful. 1996. Okay? By the way, the reason why we do processions and why we wear black outside, whatever, is to announce to the world that I am in love with Hussein. That's what we do. Why do you wear your wedding ring? Do you know those of you wear wedding rings? Why do you wear it? Because you want to tell the people, this is what he gave me. So what the Greeks did, the Greeks, when the two people were getting married, you had to cut your left finger, ring finger, his and yours, don't do it, and then you rubbed it together. That meant you were bound for life. Now the English were chickens. They didn't want to cut it, so they stuck a ring on. That's where it came from. However, we are told that the ring that is most honorable or most closest to you wear on your right hand.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you wear your wedding ring. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, that was just a question. So let's go to Surah number 19, ayah 96. Inna alladhina amanu. Indeed, those who believe. Wa amilu salihat. You cannot believe until you are able to manifest their belief into deeds that fix yourself and fix others. I was telling a story to at Bustan, and I'll repeat it. Won't take too long. I'll repeat it. I have a friend. Still a good friend. And not you. So my friend used to drink a lot, alcohol. She wasn't a Muslim, by the way. She used to drink a lot, and she hated it. Absolutely hated it. I should tell her, at least when I see you, don't, because you stink. But she's such an amazing person. Such an amazing person. And I always used to give these different words of Allah to her, something similar to this, before we created Jigsaw, all the other stuff, and say, hello, you can't drink. That's just, you're not you. It's affecting your children, your family, all of this. Suddenly I find one day, she says, I've changed. I've done tubu. It's acting like Doba. Done tubu. What did you do? She said, I've done a U-turn. I said, okay, that's cool. That's really cool. Have you fixed yourself? She said, yeah, but not only that, you told me that I've got to fix other people too. So in their house, she has Alcoholics Anonymous. So she helps those who are unfixed fix themselves as well. That is Amilu Salihat. Salihat means to fix, to put something together. Somebody who doesn't smile, to make them smile. Somebody who's, well, whatever. Okay. So Inna Ladina Amanu Amilu Salihat. Now what does Allah do to them? Sayaj Alu. Look at this. Sayaj'alu lahumur rahmanu wudda. Allah places this wood in them, this love in them, this this extreme form of love. All you have to do is believe and manifest your belief by serving humanity. That's it. And that is why you and I love Abbas. Absolutely adore him. So let's just spend a little bit of time on him. Tiny bit. So, Abbas is a dua of Imam Ali. So you have, after Sayyidah Fatima, he goes to his brother and he says, I want to marry someone from a family which has righteousness and bravery. Why? Because there was somebody to help Hussein. It's the back of his mind. There's always an intention over there. I know we're not here to go matchmaking, but in essence, a family is really important. I get young people always coming and telling me, I like him, but I don't like his mom. And I go, one day, an absolute image of her will be toddling down in your house. Yeah. Same person you didn't like will be the person you have to love. So this is what he did. He said, righteousness and bravery. And Akhil says, come a little while later. Then he says, I've got a family from the family of Kalbiya who have a daughter called Fatima. And Imam marries Fatima. When Fatima comes to the house of Imam Hussein, she says, Imam Ali rather, she says, I do not want to be called Fatima, because that will remind the children of their mama. You'll have to call me something else. So he said that I wish that God grants me sons through you that will assist Hussein. So I will call you Ummul Baneen, mother of sons. This is the dua of Ali. So there are four sons, Jafar, Uthman, Abdullah, and Abbas. And then there are two daughters, Jumana and Umhani. Okay. So these are the sons there. as he grows up, and that's why tarbiyah is so important. Mom says, you will never call him brother. Never. You will always call him Sayyidi, which is my master, Aba Abdullah, because that was what he is to you. The greatest accolade you can give Abbas, and remember, he followed Imam Hussein like a tail follows an animal. He was always there, always with him. Whatever he learned from Hussein. I was saying this morning that whenever I go to Iraq or Karbala, and I go to Bayn al-Haramain, I'm torn. Because Hussein is synonymous with Abbas. I don't know whether to go first to Hussein or to go to Abbas. My mama called me, or my baba called me Umm al-Bani, which is the mother of Abbas's name. And I'm inclined to go there. But you think, okay, first the master, then Abbas. And you think, no, first Abbas, then I will go spend lots of time with the master. And you're torn. And sometimes I just sit in the middle, sit down and think, can't make up my mind. Okay? He is synonymous. Absolutely together. The greatest accolade you can give Abbas is he was the backbone of the saint. Because when he fell, Imam Hussein said, Al-An, just now, in kasara dhahari, my back is broken. I'm going to do exactly the same thing I did this morning. I'm going to take you through Abbas. Abbas was phenomenal. On the night of Ashura, there is a lot of noise going on, a lot of buzzing like bees, described by the journalist with it. Humayd ibn Muslim was a journalist and he was there. He said it was like the buzzing of bees. In fact, lots of people from the side of Yazid actually came to this side. They actually left Yazid's side because they could hear what Imam Hussein was giving. Remember, Imam Hussein asked for respite for one night. He said, Anahuibu Salah, I love Salah. I love Batilawat Kitabihi, I love to recite his book. I live Bakathra to Dua, I love lots of Dua while it's still fun. And that's why he asked for that day as well. So that night, Hazrat Abbas is sharpening his sword and he is ready to defend Hussein because his mama brought him up. You will always look after Hussein. But then he hears from a tent somebody crying. And he goes to that tent and he says, and he goes, oh, are you crying? I'm here. She says, I don't have any children. All these moms here are going to go to Sayyidah Fatima and say, well, this is my contribution. My child has gone to give their life for Hussein. I don't have anyone. And he says, anytime somebody says Abbas, they will think Umm Kulthum. Because I will be your contribution. We don't very often hear of Umm Kulthum. Well, next morning, Ashura, children are going Al-Attash, Al-Attash. They're crying. Remember, he's known as a towering mountain with a really squidgy heart. People describe Abbas as somebody who was tall, as somebody who was, you know, formidable when you saw him, but he had such a squidgy heart. So when these children cry, and again I will go through the eyes of Sakina like I always do, imagine her knowing that her uncle has gone. Because Abbas said, Irqab bi nafsi ya akhi. Ride, oh my brother, my life be sacrificed on you. So this little girl is standing on Tilla Zainabia. She's got all the other children around her. Again, this is my perception. They're all around her and she's telling them, don't worry, my uncle will never let us down. He has never, ever let us down. And he's strong, he's going to bring us water. So she's watching and she's telling him, I'm going to give you, or she's telling the children, I'm going to give you a rundown of what's happening. She sees the hooves of the horse, she sees also the sand that they create, and she sees the alam, or the flag. And then she sees it stopped near the river, and she goes, and I tell you, he's actually stopped near the river. We're told that the boss lifts some water in his hands, and he throws it away. And he says, oh nafs, oh my soul, how can you drink water when Hussein is drinking death? He gets the water in his water bag, and he goes. Now, Sakina is watching. Suddenly the flag falls and she says, maybe that's because he couldn't carry the flag and he wants to get to me quicker. She doesn't know that one of his arms has been cut off. As she looks a bit further, she sees that the horse stops and she says, maybe he's got a pit stop, maybe he's waiting for a bit. She doesn't know the other arm is gone as well, but he's managed to take this water bag in his teeth. But when an arrow pierces the water bag, Abbas has lost the will to move. Another one strikes his eye. And another one strikes his forehead and he falls to the ground. Ummul Baneen, when she is told, Qal Qutila Hussein, Hussein has died. She says, how dare you say Hussein has died? My Abbas, where was he? My Abbas was his protector. And they said, Ummul Baneen, they were treacherous to him. They cut off both his arms. She said, I will give 1,000 sons in the name of Abbas, in the name of Hussein. But tell me, just tell me one thing. How did my son come off that horse when he didn't have any arms to support him? When Abbas's grave was damaged and a builder was called to repair it, Sayyid Bahrul Ulum was there. He was actually supervising the building of the grave. And the builder tells him, Sayyid, every majlis I heard there was this tall man. I heard this man who was so brave and tall, but this grave is like the grave of a child. And Sayyid Bahrul Ulum tells him, فَقَتُوهُ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. They cut him into pieces. That is why his grave is so small. When Imam goes to him and places his head on his lap, he says, Abbas, for the last time or for the first time, call me brother. And he says, do you have anything to say? And barely with a whisper, Abbas says 3 things. Don't take me back. Don't take me back to the tents where I feel shy to show my face to Sakina. That is why he's buried away. That is why you have Bain al-Haramain. He says, 2, tell my mama that I fulfilled my promise. I looked after Hussein till my last breath. And finally he said, 3rd thing, when anybody comes to visit me, or anybody remembers me, then I would like to be Babul Hawaij, which means, ask Allah in the name of Abbas, for whatever you want. You're sitting here, you've got tears in your eyes for Abbas, ask him his name. Ask Allah to remove the difficulties of all those in the world. Ask him to help those who are ill, to look after them, and then ask for yourself. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
Yeah, but